This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
My name is Ella Graham. I am a senior at Madison High School, and I plan to attend St. Kate's next year.
I'm Lauren Leisinger. I'm from Sioux Falls. I plan to attend SDSU next fall.
All right. Thank you and welcome. Want to greet our internet listeners and make sure everyone has their cell phones off. And with that, we will ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Killer. Excused. Maher. Excused. Nelson. Excused. Youngberg.
Here.
Langer.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. The first item on our agenda, we're going to mix things up a little bit, but we are going to start with the appointment to the Watertown Building Authority of James Roby. Do we have someone here for that? Would you come forward? Thank you.
Good now? Well, good morning. Jim Roby is a resident of Watertown. He was appointed to the South Dakota Building Authority in August of 2000. He's currently serving as our secretary. He's a partner in a law firm up there in Watertown. Graduated from SDSU, got his law degree from USD. He's a member and past president of the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. He has a lot of experience through tax-exempt bonding through his law practice. And he's proven to be a great asset to our authority as a board member. And we would kindly recommend his reappointment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on his behalf? Any questions of the committee? All right, seeing none, I would entertain a motion of advise and consent for the reappointment of James C. Roby to the Watertown South Dakota Building Authority.
Madam Chair, I would make a motion for advise and consent for James C. Roby to the South Dakota Building Authority.
Motion by Senator Ewing.
Second.
Second by Senator Youngberg. Any discussion on that motion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries, or motion for consent from Senator Ewing.
Second.
Second by Senator Kamak. Any opposed? All those say aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. This will go to our consent calendar for the reappointment of James C. Roby. Thank you for that. Next item on our agenda, we're going to move up to Senate Bill 116. We're going to hear that first. And I see we have open it up for proponent testimony. Senate Bill 116 to improve the online access to information concerning state boards, commissions, and departments. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Grace Beck. I serve as a deputy policy advisor in Governor Dugard's office, and I'm here today to offer proponent testimony. Since being elected, Governor Dugard has worked to create better online access to grants, contracts, administrative rules, and boards and commissions. At his request, both a boards and commissions portal and an administrative rules site have been created. Today, OpenSD serves as a central hub that links to contracts, grants, the administrative rules site, and the boards and commissions portal. Currently, departments utilize the boards and commissions portal and the administrative rules site at the request of the governor. But moving forward, the governor feels that it would be important that this be put in statute to ensure that the people of South Dakota continue to have quality online access to information produced by boards, commissions, and departments. The first section of the bill changes the requirement that information be posted directly on the public body's website, and rather gives the Commissioner of Bureau of Finance and Management the ability to designate where that information be posted. That duty was offered to the Commissioner of BFM because BFM currently maintains OpenSD. Section 2 offers a list of materials that should be posted online. It includes financial reports, audits, annual reports, a list of members, future meetings, meeting materials, minutes, and annual reports. Reviewing this bill as it was dropped, I did realize there was a drafting error, and I would ask you to consider an amendment that I have here if the pages could distribute it.
Sure. Can you come up and help distribute those, please? Thank you. Go ahead and speak to the amendment, please.
The amendment is very short. It just adds the phrase, if the information exists, on page 2, line 6, and it serves to clarify that the information laid out in this section, in section 2, only be posted if it exists. It's an important amendment because the boards and commissions especially are very varied, and many of them don't even have a budget, so I don't want to codify that they have to post their financial documents when they don't even have any. Additionally, many licensure boards don't produce annual reports, so this amendment was intended to originally be part of the bill.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would like to move Amendment 116FA.
Second.
I have a motion to move 116FA by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Maher. Any discussion on that amendment?
It's just a common sense amendment, and it was just an oversight in the first place.
Okay. Any other further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment 116FA is passed. I'll let you just go ahead. Do you have more information for the bill?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. Any other proponent testimony for Senate Bill 116? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. We stand in support of Senate Bill 116. The governor, Governor Dugard, has done excellent work in his time in office in promoting open government issues and furthering the work of open government in South Dakota. And I think this is a good example of taking another step forward. He has been very active in his administration on open records and open meetings laws. He's had a policy for several years now encouraging boards and commissions under the executive branch to put this information online. Again, this takes a step to codify it, and I think that's a good step going forward. The legislature has taken good steps as well to put information such as this online, including within our open records law, state contracts, and certain financial information of state agencies. And so we see this as just another good step forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Janelle Toman, Director of Communications for the South Dakota Board of Regents. We would just like to lend our voice and support to this bill as well. For many, many years, the Board of Regents has used its own website to share a lot of information for the public regarding our board minutes, board agendas, board action items, financial information, fact book information. In more recent years, when the online portal became available to us, we have added our material to that as well as to the Open South Dakota website. And we just think that this is a good one-stop point of contact for information to the public. We will continue to post to our own website, but also will be posting and will continue to post to this site. And we think it does increase the transparency of state government. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further opponents to Senate Bill 116? Did I say any opponents to Senate Bill 116? All right. Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kamak.
I would move due pass on Senate Bill 116.
I have a do pass motion on Senate Bill 116 by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Maher. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Henry. Aye.
Gilbert.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Gilbert.
Aye.
Aye.
And I should say as amended.
Yes.
All right, motion. Senate Bill 116 as amended will go to the floor with a do pass motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move consent.
I have a motion for consent.
Second.
Second by Senator Maher. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That will be on our consent calendar. Thank you for being here. With that, is Senator Tiedemann? Oh, sorry. You were sitting there. You confused me. All right. Just making sure you were in the room. All right. We will hear Senate Bill 78, Revised Provisions Regarding Election Petitions for Conservation District Supervisors. Do we have proponent testimony? Good morning, Senator Tiedemann.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am here, Larry Tiedemann, District 7 State Senator from Brookings, South Dakota, and I offer Senate Bill 78 for the committee's consideration. Conservation district law was first passed in 1937. Almost every county has a conservation district across the state. They do work in helping preserve our natural resources, soil, water, and air. And there's been very minimal changes since 1937. This particular section codified law 38-8-39. Election standards have changed, and therefore Senate Bill 78 seeks to bring conservation district supervisor election standards into conformance with modern election standards. Three main points. It removes the qualification restrictions that may potentially violate civil rights laws. Number two, it requires candidates to be registered voters within that district that they're running for office, and changes the number of petition signatures required to be more reflective of the population of that conservation district. The Minnehaha Conservation District has way more voters, registered voters, than, say, Jones County. Jones County, I think, only has a population of about 900. To require the same number of petition signatures as they run for that position seems kind of ridiculous, and so I'd urge your support of Senate Bill 78. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony of Senate Bill 78?
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the Local Government Committee. My name is Angela Ehlers, and I represent South Dakota's conservation districts, and I'd like to walk you through the bill a bit and provide a more detailed explanation for Senator Tiedemann's. One clarification, every single square foot of South Dakota is covered by a conservation district right now. Everybody is in one. Current law requires right now, as in the 1937 law, that there be five supervisors elected on a nonpartisan ballot at large. Three must be landowner occupiers, one must be a taxpayer of real property, and one must be an urban resident. Under current law, the three positions that are landowner occupier, I want to tell you what the law defines as a landowner occupier. It is any South Dakota resident, person, firm, or corporation, public or private, who has legal title to 10 or more acres of land lying within a district organized or to be organized as shown by the records in the Office of the Register of Deeds and the Clerk of Courts of the county in which such land is situated. Native American lands owned by tribal members are not registered in the Clerk of Courts or the Register of Deeds, so therefore Native Americans would be excluded from this definition under that consideration. A land occupier is any firm, person or corporation who holds title to or is in possession of any agricultural, grazing, or forest lands lying within a conservation district. Traditionally, this has also been interpreted as requiring a minimum of 10 acres. What this also excludes is someone who has a high tunnel garden outside of Minnehaha County on less than 10 acres. High tunnel gardens are what often provide the nursery products you see at farmers markets. There's quite a few in the Black Hills. Those people would also be excluded from being allowed to be represented on the conservation district under this definition. The taxpayer real property, there is no definition in state law what that is. An urban member, the Conservation Commission has adopted a rule that must be a resident of any municipality as defined in South Dakota Codified Law 9-2 or any unincorporated municipality that has over 100 legal residents and at least 45 registered voters. These election standard qualifications do not tie to the registered voter status in the statewide voter file, which is what the Secretary of State and the county auditors use to manage elections. The Secretary of State has no way of verifying if a candidate is eligible to seek position for the office they list, such as taxpayer of real property, or landowner or land occupier. Voter records do not contain that sort of information, nor are election officials required to check for that. Therefore, on lines 6 through 9 of page 1, we would eliminate those qualification restrictions. The Secretary of State also informed us this summer, after almost 80 years of having this law in place, that you are not required to be a registered voter to be a member of the Conservation District Board. You must be a registered voter to circulate the petition. You must be a registered voter to vote for the person, but the person themselves must not be a registered voter, which is unusual. Therefore, in lines 12 and 13, we do provide that on page 1 that a Conservation District Supervisor must be a registered voter within the conservation district. At the request of several conservation districts, lines 1 through 3 on page 2 are within the bill, and they would offer the conservation districts the choice to divide their conservation district into election precincts. Currently, we have at-large elections. This would be similar to counties. They have this option, but they have it in reverse. Their law defaults to precincts, but offers the counties the opportunity to be an at-large. The other portion you will see is on lines 11 through 20 of page 2 of Senate bill, of the bill, and they would propose that rather than requiring 25 signatures that for a petition, that we do it based on population. And this came about, actually, we had an Edmonds County Commissioner that ran for election last year, and he pointed out he only has to have 6 signatures in Edmonds County, whereas we need 25. And if the pages would pass these out, please. What we are proposing is to base the number of petitions required based on the population of the county in certain categories. And that's what you see on the population list there. Those conservation districts with less than 5,000 population would take 10 signatures. Those with 5,000 to 14,999 would require 15 signatures. Those from 15,000 to 39,999 would require 20 signatures, and those conservation districts with over 40,000 population would require the current 25 signatures. As you can see from the list, most of the conservation districts would fall within the 10 signatures or less category, a 10 signature category. That would give you the main highlights of the bill. Again, we are seeking to modernize the legislation, conform with current election standards, remove some unnecessary restrictions, and we would encourage you to support this bill, and I stand by to answer any questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other further proponents? Good morning.
I'm Carl Jensen. As of this morning, I find I'm a registered lobbyist, and I'm president of the South Dakota Association of Conservation Districts. Angela's taken you through fairly detailed description of what's in here. I won't elaborate on that. The real issue on that is because of our statewide representation, we want to stay relevant. Like many organizations, we want to be able to attract the best people we can, and that means including everyone in the county or everyone in the state. We've run this through our membership. This is the result of last year's annual convention, where people felt this is a way for us to stay up to date and stay relevant. Conservation is incredibly important, but we have to make sure that we're representing all the people of the state, which we intend to do. We would greatly appreciate your support on this. We've gotten excellent guidance from the Secretary of State's office on some of these details, and I think it was originally two bills, and on their advice, we moved it into one, so it's one piece. But what it will really do is allow us to stay relevant, to be truly representative of all the people in the state, and we hope to continue to represent all the people in the state on something as important as conservation of all our natural resources. And once again, I'd be very happy to answer any questions if anybody has them. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill 78? Any opponents? All right, I will waive rebuttal and move to committee questions.
Madam Chair.
Senator Maher.
I have a question for Angela. Can you, Madam Chair, Angela, do you know why the Corson County Conservation District is opposing this?
Madam Chair, Senator Maher, the reasons that the Corson Conservation District gave me that they opposed it is they just don't see any reason to change the 1937 law.
Oh, okay.
And I sort of pointed out to them since then we've had rural water, rural electric, and the world has changed. We've had the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that wasn't in place in 1937. But some people just are not comfortable with change.
Okay. Because I was reading their letter, and it wasn't making a whole lot of sense compared to what you were telling us. And this is like, I don't know what they're complaining about. But anyway, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further committee questions? Seeing none, I would move to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kamak.
I would move do pass on Senate Bill 78.
Second.
I have a do pass motion on Senate Bill 78 by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Ewing. Any discussions on that motion? Seeing none, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
7-0.
Motion passes. Unanimous vote. Do pass motion on Senate Bill 78. Any further action? Senator Ewing.
Chair, I would request a motion to place on the consent calendar to go to the floor.
Motion for consent. Do I have a second? Seconded by Senator Kamak. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No. Or aye.
No.
Voting no on the consent.
Okay. The motion will not go on our consent calendar. All right. Thank you for those that are here today for that one. Moving on, we will move to Senate Bill 98, revised provisions regarding deadlines for municipal election recounts. And I believe Senator Kennedy is here. Good morning.
Senator Langer, members of the committee, Craig Kennedy, Senator from District 18, I'm appearing in support of Senate Bill 98. Senate Bill 98 is a rather simple modification and clarification of existing law. Recounts in municipal elections for elected officials and for ballot questions are completed by a board. Recount boards are chosen by the elected officials and for ballot questions by persons on either side of the issue. The current statutes don't establish a time frame in which the recount must occur or a time frame in which the recount board must be named. And this can become an issue when, for some reason, there's a delay in recount board members being named, and things can get put off and unnecessarily delayed. This bill merely establishes a time frame within which the board recount board members must be identified and the recount must be conducted. Otherwise, it does not make any substantive change to existing law. This bill is being brought on behalf of the South Dakota Municipal League. They're here to address it, and I will stand by for any questions you may have of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kennedy. Do I have further proponents for Senate Bill 98? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lori Martinez with the South Dakota Municipal League. And we appreciate Senator Kennedy bringing this bill before us on before you on our behalf. And we believe that this bill is very simple in nature, but does provide some needed deadlines for the municipal election recount process. So we urge your support of the bill, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill 98? Seeing none, I would open it up for committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Seeing none, I will move to committee discussion and or action.
I move do pass.
Second.
All right, I have a do pass motion by Senator Youngberg on Senate Bill 98, a second by Senator Killer. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Senate Bill 98.
Madam Chair.
We'll go to the chair with a do pass motion. Senator Kamak.
I move consent.
Motion for consent by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Ewing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion will go on our consent calendar for Senate Bill 98. All right, thank you. Senate Bill 99, revised certain provisions regarding the petition signature requirements for municipal elections. Welcome back, Senator Kennedy.
Thank you, Senator Langer. Again, Craig Kennedy, Senator District 18. Bringing before you Senate Bill 99, which is another bill that I'm bringing on behalf of the South Dakota Municipal League. Senate Bill 99 is another modification of existing law, which we believe provides clarification to the process for determining the necessary number of signatures for petitions. This bill creates a consistent and accurate process to determine the correct number of signatures needed for a nominating petition, an initiative, or referendum petition for municipal elections. This bill would require the county auditor to refer to the master registration file on a set date each year to determine and record the required number of signatures for each type of municipal petition that might be filed throughout the coming year. This will result in an accurate number of required signatures of registered voters for petitions based on current data. And you'll note that although the law changes from a certain number of signatures per thousand to a percentage, the maximum number of signatures required does not change. So the most that could ever be required would be 50 signatures on a petition. The other change addresses the needs of small municipalities in South Dakota. The state has 8 municipalities that have populations of 9 or fewer citizens. And under current law, they're simply unable to meet the requirements for petitioning for municipal action. Actually, the smallest municipality has a population of 3. So this law would change the number of signatures required on petitions in small municipalities to 3, so that every municipality in the state could be in compliance with the law. I believe a representative from the Municipal League will also speak on this, but I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kennedy. Any further proponents? Good morning again.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We, again, appreciate Senator Kennedy for bringing this bill forth on our behalf. We do think this bill simplifies the process for county auditors and also for municipalities and for petitioners for determining an accurate number of signatures for the petitions that they bring forth for nominating petitions, initiatives, and referendums. One challenge that county auditors currently have is that the master registration file that they use to access data is a live, active file. So it would be a challenge for a county auditor to look up registered voter data from a past date. When they look up the registered voter data, it gives them the number of registered voters for today. It's an active file, so it's constantly changing. So what happens with current statute is that a county auditor would be able to possibly look at the number of people that voted at the last general election, but then they'd have to sort it out by whether they were municipal voters, registered in municipality, and then further, for those in wards, figure out which ward they were in to determine the number of registered voters. So with this bill, it just requires them on the second Tuesday in January to access their master registration file to determine the number of registered voters in the municipality and the wards. And that's the number that they'll be able to use for all nominating petitions, initiatives, and referendums for the remaining year. So hopefully this provides some ease of use for county auditors, clears up any confusion for municipalities and for folks that are requesting to file petitions. And the last part of the bill talks about being able to lower the number of registered voters' signatures required for small towns, and it's become a logistical issue for many of them, and they've come to us with questions, and we really don't have an answer besides clearing this up through this process. So I will stand by for any questions. I thank you for I urge your support today, and like I said, stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents for Senate Bill 99? Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill 99? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Tina Mullally with Citizens for Liberty. My opposition to this particular bill is as candidates, you all know that the registered voter lists are not accurate. And when you purchase a voter's list, you'll find that a lot of them are not purged for 4 years. I noticed contacting many of the voters in my districts, many of them didn't even live there anymore. And many of them lived out of state but registered here. And as you know, most elections, less than 20% in the last election actually voted. So when you're talking registered voters versus people who actually vote, you're asking for petitioners that are taking the petitions around to get signatures, you're asking them to take a count that I believe is not accurate. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? Seeing none, I will give you some time for rebuttal. Would you like to?
No, thank you.
Okay. Committee questions? Seeing none, I will close that portion and move up to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kamak.
I would move do pass.
I have a do pass motion by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Youngberg. Discussion on that motion. All right. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Lumber.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Motion passes. Do pass motion with 6 ayes and 1 nay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We have one item left on our agenda. I did not get approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Motion by Senator Killer, seconded by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other action of the committee? All right, with that, looking at the bill calendar, just so the committee knows, I think we will plan to meet at 9 a.m. on Monday, if that is okay with... Oh, Senator Nelson's not liking that. All right. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Killer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.